Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh my god, we finally found, like, Anchor is so awesome. We found a way to actually make this happen.
This is so amazing. I'm so stoked. I can't even say it.
Oh wow. That means I can literally record an episode with anyone around the world.
This is true. Bless the Lord for the internet and for technology, right?
Shit, like, this is so dope. So are we recording this officially, or like we were just testing it out? Like, what are we doing?
I think let's record officially, right? Because because if it's, and also actually because I did some prep work. I literally prepped because I was like, I'm not sure what we're doing. Are we gonna, because we said test, but then in my diary I'd allowed 2 hours, so I was like, okay, so we're testing and then we're gonna run an episode.
Well, okay, what did you, I feel like you're going to lead this episode, because here's the thing.
you only feel like I'm going to.
Because clearly you know what we're going to talk about. Like, let me just add my penniless thoughts into your prep work.
your audio keeps fading a little in and out. Like, it's coming in and out. I don't know if it's, are you using a microphone or are you using a speaker, or is the issue on my end?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, so you sounded loud at the beginning and then faded out a little bit.
Oh yeah, I think it's just the network. You know that South Africa is going through a whole
epidemic. Don't tell me about the stories, please. I'm literally trying to maintain a positive attitude towards life and everything. So the moment the conversation turns towards those subjects, I swear, like, I start going off in my head at, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to need to solve the problems of the entire country over one conversation, which I don't think is helpful.
That is so true. That is so true. So are you okay now with, like, the classic?
Yeah. Oh gosh. I'm gonna try to do this, to tell you about it without complaining too much. Like, was in an accident. Yeah, I was in an accident earlier this week, and so they needed to replace my car, because the one that I have needed to go in, obviously, for repairs. And what they do, this ridiculous thing of, like, ringing you and they're like, okay, so we'll deliver the car between 9 and 5. You're like, well, I've sort of got things to do in that time, so maybe, like, figure something else out. Like, I wanted a different car, but at the same time, like, they're scheduling, and then also the driver just frankly not being able to find where you are, and also just, like, language barriers, because the person you're dealing with, that is the driver, might not be somebody who actually is very good with English. So you're literally talking at cross purposes. There's no point yelling. You can yell at the people at the customer service center, but they are not the person who's at the place looking for you. You see what I'm saying? So it's just, this is one of those things. Like, I was looking at it now, I was like, I spent an hour in that parking bay waiting for this guy. So between me arriving where I am, and then waiting for the driver, and then eventually being seated and ready to talk with you, that was an hour of my life that I will never get back. But that's fine.
I'm so sorry. I'm really so sorry. I know how stressful that getting in an incident can be. But you here now. Let's reclaim the day with another banging episode.
Yes.
So I was sitting in front of mine, because I'm with a friend of mine right now, and her baby. So don't be quite stoked when you hear baby sounds and or her trying to conversate as well. So I was telling her about the fact that, like, the entire podcast, I've been mispronouncing the name of the podcast the entire time. And am I not a bombastic fool at this point? So yes, it is Soju instead of Soju.
So actually, because they don't do so, it's like Soju.
Soju.
Yeah. Not so. Soju. That's like how white people would pronounce it. Soju. It's Soju.
Soju.
Soju. Like, oh, you would if you're pronouncing something in Sotho or Xhosa, right? It's Soju.
Yeah. Because obviously, there's been a whole debate about whether Korean sounds a bit Sotho or not. And also,
really?
People saying,
that's interesting.
yeah, or whether Mandarin sounds a bit Sotho. But I think there's a bit of like words that, you know, you might actually like mistaken them for Sotho words.
I have no idea. Like, which words do you, can you think of one?
Imshi means pregnant in Korean.
Okay.
In Sotho, harimutu is pregnant. We say that uime.
Yeah.
Yes, imshi. So it's not pretty much hard to actually like say that that name does sound a bit like a Sotho word that also means the same thing, you know.
Okay. I can't argue with that if that's something that you picked up.
I picked it up. I was like, okay, obviously I read about it and I was like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But also like sometimes it might sound the same but mean different things, right? But I found like this name that, or word that means the same thing even in our native language. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So if you're going to say that, imshimida, and then I'm like, okay, kimme. Okay, yeah. That's it. And also like Asians learn Sotho better.
What?
Yes.
This is like an official and academic observation that's backed by like empirical evidence.
Here's the thing. That's so true though. But here's the thing. Asians have a lot of business in Africa, right?
Okay, carry on.
So yeah, Asians have a lot of business in Africa. So they do a lot of business in Africa. So for instance, obviously we also have like Chinese. We even have like a whole Chinatown, China Mall, and all that in our city in Joburg. Even like all around the provinces. I think each and every province has a China Mall, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think there's a China Mall in each and every province? Yeah, even in Cape Town, because we buy beads from like different places, so sometimes we run out of stock here. We actually stock out beads from different places in Gauteng. So we have to like reach out to other stores in other provinces. So it'd be a shocker for me to find out the fact that there's a China Mall even in Durban, there's a China Mall in Cape Town, there's a China Mall in... So they do a lot of business in Africa, like not in South Africa only, but in Africa as a whole. But Chinese from Lesotho can speak Sotho more than Sotho people fluently.
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
There you go. You're back again. I lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the network.
Are you using headphones, if I may ask?
Oh yeah, I am. Are they horrible?
Yeah, it's like literally the beginning of every sentence that you say, the beginning is crystal clear and then the end of it is like literally fading. I'm battling to hear you.
Can you hear me well now?
That's so much better.
Oh, all right. Okay. Let's not use without earphones. So I was saying that
did you just elect to not use earphones at all?
Yeah.
which one I like better. I think let's go back to headphones. Yeah, I think let's go back to headphones, and then I don't know if there's a way to like, are you using one of those ones that are like a fixed thing with like an earpiece that hangs in front of your mouth, or are you using your normal phone ones?
Which are the normal phone ones, Paga?
I'm right now, I'm on my phone actually, so I'm recording with you on my phone. My audio is coming out okay on your end, yeah?
Yeah, it is. I'm also like using my phone without earphones right now. Is it not coming out okay?
It's doing that thing that I was speaking about. So okay, I'm just gonna attribute it to the network then. You're on maximum volume, I'm on max.
It could be the network. Huh?
Okay. Right. okay, have we officially started? Are you gonna what's the word I'm looking for? Do I need to do we do an introduction or something? I don't know how these things run.
Yeah. I think we need to do like an intro. But here's the thing. Nowadays podcasts don't have to be traditional. We literally just go right
straight
off
into it. Okay.
We only have one job to do, and you know, the job is to deliver all this juice and, you know, spill all this juice.
Deliver all. I like it. So I did like all kinds of prep because I went from what you and I spoke about, which was you were looking for somebody to like to host as a guest, like somebody to visit with you on your podcast as a guest and talk all things like South Korean entertainment, right? Yeah. Music and TV and movies, etc. And yeah. So I wrote out like I did things I don't want to say the traditional way, but I did things in the way that I do, which is like project manager level of organization and like literally spelling it all out to say, these are the things I must make sure to say, whether, you know, even if we riff, but I must make sure that I run through these points anyway. Right?
Oh,
yeah.
You are so prepared right now. Like, oh my God.
It's my first time on a podcast, so I wanted to wow you enough that you'll be like, I need this girl on the next one. And also I wanted, I think, for your listeners to be able to pick up who I am and why they should even bother listening to me. So I would lead with, I'm a Xhosa girl born in Mafikeng, in Mahikeng, as I would say.
And then,
and I grew up in Vereeniging and in Qwaqwa and in Mount Fletcher and then boarding schools and university around the Eastern Cape. And so basically, if South Africa is what, 9 provinces? It's 9 provinces, right?
Yes, correct.
We've got 9 provinces and I'm a hit at 4 of those. So 4 for 9, because born in the Northwest, raised in Gauteng and mostly in the Free State and the Eastern Cape, and my people are from the Eastern Cape as well. So 4 for 9. Mm-hmm. So I'm a proper South African, as I like to call myself. like proper. And then I moved to the UAE, and I've been living here now for like the last 8 years. And so in that regard, then I'm a proper South African, but I'm also like a proper global citizen.
Oh, so, I didn't know that you moved to UAE for such a long time. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
It just makes you...
Please don't mention where you were 8 years ago, because that's just going to hurt my feelings.
I wasn't even there.
Well, you hit me with that last time. In our last conversation, I was like, oh, this is... And then you were like, oh my gosh, I was in high school. I was like, this conversation is ridiculous. I don't know if I'm going to speak to this person like ever again. Just clearly, like, there's no kindness in this room and there's no, you know, circle of trust type situation. Yeah, that's what that felt like.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No, I'm not gonna hit you with any of those, because I am trying to be on your good side of books. You can come on as a guest more often.
Oh, so brilliant.
I am never ever going to do that, because
so we should get along just fine then.
Without any problems. So yeah, you were saying...
Oh, sorry, say that again.
No, you were saying you can continue, because you know...
Oh, yeah.
You were still telling the viewers who you are, what you were about.
And so obviously I work in corporate. My background is accounting and like innovation and service leadership. And I'm an author as well. I've written a book called Studies of Light and Shadow. That's available on Amazon. You can pick it up from there. It's mostly poetry with a little bit of like philosophy, etc. on the side. So that's Pakama in a nutshell. And I wanted to like because this particular interest is a bit of a niche interest, isn't it? Or it still is in South Africa, because who's into like K-pop, K anything in that place? And when you find these people, there's like, there's a story for how you ended up in that place, of how you found that interest, or how that interest found you. So I was going to tell you my very, it's not very long story, but it's an interesting story for how I arrived at where I am now, which is an appreciator of entertainment coming out of South Korea.
Oh yeah. So how did you end up being a K-pop stan?
Okay, so the first thing you have to know about me is that I have been a an advocate for like no TV, just as a stance. Before I even left SA to move out to the USA, to the UAE, excuse me. to the UAE. So I was in South... Pardon?
It's the U.
Khalas. It's everything's united. So I was in South Africa, and I was one of those people that I was like, one of the things I hate is when people have their lives set around their TV. You know what I mean? Like, you walk into any home, like the lounge is literally facing the television. Everybody lives in a way that the television is the most important, because that's the person that everybody's facing. So because of like church influences and things like that, shout out to Nigel Desmond, our pastor, who was actually the guy who was like, listen, we need to talk about the role that we give television and the importance that we give it in our homes, and actually just take some amount of control over that. It's not okay that we're raising our children around this thing that places the entertainment and media at the center of every single room. So that's the background that I come from, where I was before I even moved away from home. I was like, no TV. So I then arrived in this country, a fresh immigrant, experiencing the life of a true kwere kwere, as they would say back home. And I apologize for how bad that sounds, but you know what I'm saying.
I get you with our ill manners. Yes, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, experiencing what that's like in a new country, and no SABC or DSTV to curate my watching. And I'm already like, I'm anti-TV anyway, so I'm not going to arrive here and immediately buy a TV for my house. So I did the normal thing that you do. You have a tablet, you have a laptop, etc., and that connects to the internet. And what do I obtain me in a brand new country where I have no friends, and really I wouldn't even know what to watch? And so YouTube becomes my best friend. It's like, literally, I live on YouTube. And through that, actually, then comes my exploration of international content, because a lot of the American content or British content is actually protected, and that's not the thing that you will normally run into on YouTube. But what you will find on there is like a lot of Bollywood content. A lot of Bollywood movies are on there.
It's always there. Z-World Entertainment.
Pardon?
Z-World Entertainment. You'll find it there.
Bollywood, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So Bollywood movies, and then a lot of Korean TV. Just normal TV, like what they call variety TV, or even then the K-dramas. Oh, yeah. And then there's a lot of Chinese cinema, Chinese movies on there. Lots of Japanese TV series on there, and also Japanese movies, Taiwanese series, and all of the ones that I'm naming are literally the things that I got into. So got into Bollywood movies, then basically that became this rabbit hole that I went down, where I'm literally tripping across things that I find entertaining or interesting or whatever. And it's basically, it's finding uncurated media content, or free ranging, basically. Do you know what I'm saying? Because one of the things that we don't think about is, say, if you are, and I'm going to go with the simple version of it, if you are watching a DSTV, or you are watching an SABC channel, somebody's curated that content for you. There's like millions of TV content that's available in the world from, like, I don't know, the more than 200 countries that exist in the world. And somebody's making the decisions to choose the bold and the beautiful instead of all my children, to choose a Chinese a Japanese anime over Disney cartoons, you know what I'm saying? So somebody's actually curating that for you, and I don't know if that actually enters our thinking when we think about the the media that we're consuming. You know what I mean? You're just watching a box, and you just, oh, this show comes on. There's no thinking about, somebody's made the decision to allow me to watch this one. And there's actually, do you know what I'm saying? Oh, there's actually 10 different options, or 20 or 100 different options that they could have chosen. But this is the one that they're giving me. And if you're stuck with SABC, then that's your life, you know? That's your cartoon, that's your, you know, that's your soapy, or, you know, whatever it is that you're stuck with. But the interesting concept for me was just the awareness that I'm actually free ranging it. Like, I'm freewheeling it, I'm freestyling, I'm finding my own content, and I'm picking out the ones that I like instead of somebody giving them to me.
I think also, like, the most important thing about, like, being a K-pop stan at this point is the fact that, like, you are given variety of choices. I mean, there are shows that will work for you and the shows that, you know, won't work for you. And you'll just choose which one works for you, because here's the thing, you went out of your way, out of your comfort zone, like completely out of the box, to invest a bit of amount of time in covering a whole different content. Another interesting factor about them is that they are content.
Oh, you're fading in and out. I'm wondering if it's my fault or yours.
Oh, like, is it?
There you go.
Oh, I probably need to be closer to this phone. That's the weird thing. Can I just buy a phone, guys? Oh my God. Like, can I just give it up and buy a phone? Is it okay now?
That's the best that you've sounded.
Yeah, it probably does want me to, like, be closer to the phone. So... yeah, I was saying the fact that the nice thing about the content that we consume from, like, K-pop, the K-pop content, is that it's completely different from our content. And it opens up a whole different world.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, okay, this is very different. And also the humor is very witty. I think I spent so much time seeing comedians. Or stand-up comedy. I hated it so much. And then I bumped into, like, idol groups that are funny or have funny members. And I was like, wow. And, like, also it's like... Also, like, the humor that is very smart. You know, that book smart humor. That's what I found. Like, this is what actually smart. Like, they're very witty. Even the comebacks, they're very witty. And require you to think just a little bit for you to get it.
Okay. I think that, I was going to say this, the funny thing about how I got, because you are specifically a K-pop stan, and I got I arrived there, like I said, via YouTube and really getting into the TV content and the movies. And then one of the shows that I actually picked up, which is, like, such a cute thing, it's called The Return of Superman. And they have, like, a gazillion episodes of this thing on YouTube.
Just like, and translated.
And we will get to that in a second, because actually that's one of the things that I have written down, but that's, like, at the end, tail end of this conversation. Anyway, so The Return of Superman, a show which is about...
Hey, let's not follow the script.
No. It's deliberately so. It's strategically noted at the end. Strategically noted at the end. Because when you speak about the content that has English subtitles, and it's freely available on YouTube for anybody all over the world. Okay. So anyway, Return of Superman is strategically chosen as one of those shows, right? That's actually created by the Korean Broadcasting... KBS, yes, Korean Broadcasting, whatever, but it's the equivalent of the SABC, say, if you're in South Africa. And that's one of the pieces of media that they put on the internet with English subtitles. And you know that English subtitles for South Korean content, it takes some doing, but they've done it for, like, the whole, I don't know what, 500 episodes that they've got by now. But the point of the whole... what is it, the the show is about celebrity dads. So it's famous fathers. So these people come from, like, they're sports stars, they are music stars, they're actors, mm-hmm. they are, you know, influential people who are famous and also good looking. They try to do that as well. Good looking fathers.
Yes.
Who
yes.
are then babysitting their children for 2 days and one night.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch these men basically with their babies, and they tend to be babies, very young children, very young children, because obviously I think past a certain age it gets less entertaining to have to watch these young children, and also for them in terms of like invasion of privacy. Do you see what I'm saying? So what I've seen is they age them out when the kids age past a certain stage. Even the parents don't actually want to expose them to becoming celebrities because it's a bit of a burden yeah. in some ways. Anyway, so The Return of Superman, and this is now a few years ago, right? One of the guys who was on The Return of Superman is a guy from a group called Epic High. His name is, oh gosh, I'm going to forget his name. This is terrible.
isn't it Gary?
No, not Gary. There's oh my gosh, how can I forget his name? This is ridiculous.
It happens all the time. It happens.
I didn't. One of the one thing that I didn't write down, and maybe I shouldn't have gone in that direction because I didn't write it down anyway. Tableau. Yes, his name is Tableau. And incidentally, you know Tableau?
Yes, I know Tableau.
Yeah, so he was in this group called Epic High, one of the seminal hip-hop groups in South Korea, very well respected for their artistry and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he
they're then pioneers of the K-pop hip-hop.
Yeah, they're not quite K-pop because they make a distinction between like K-hip-hop and like K-pop. K-pop is like what we would call bubblegum music, and truly it is. As much as you know you enjoy it, it's like bubblegum music. It's like Britney Spears on her worst days. You know what I mean? On her Oops I Did It Again with the red jumpsuit and just dancing, and the music is written by Swedish producers who can barely translate what they're saying, but the beat is catchy, and you know what I mean? Like, do you know
what
I'm
saying? What an insight. What an insight.
Right, but what Pablo and his guys and Epic High are doing is not quite in that vein. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. slightly different things, but it's all music and it's all entertainment. So anyway, Pablo has as one of his like visitors or guests or whatever on who come to visit him and his daughter Haru. He has mm-hmm. members of the group called Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah! Okay, what was it the one with like G-Dragon?
It wasn't. It was actually the one called Taeyang.
Oh, Taeyang. Oh, the one with the song, the nose, lips, yes. very eyes, nose.
Oh my gosh, you yeah. are well versed in your K-pop stuff.
I mean, they are the founders of this whole K-pop group. Idol groups, they are the founders of idol groups.
No, not the founders, but certainly certainly one of the seminal groups. So one of those, like if you were looking at a genre of music, you'd say these are the guys who defined an era or who defined when things changed mm-hmm. to go in a different direction. So Big Bang, in the year that I actually found, so the year that I was doing all of this stuff, running into YouTube and then finally finding South Korean content, they in that year were in Time magazine, and it might be like mm-hmm. 2014 or 15 or something like that. They were in Time magazine for being the top earning tour in the world for that year. They beat out Maroon 5.
Wow.
So I mean, they were literally, this is huge. They were in Time magazine making huge inroads on the international market, and you know, sort of planting a flag for South Korean entertainment, South Korean music, so to speak. And the kind of I don't want to like get into too deeply into them because obviously I'm a huge fan, and that's I might come off a little bit biased if I start to go into the bang, and that's literally then what sends me down. Because I saw Taeyang on this thing and I was like, oh, he's a musician. Let's go see what happens. Then you see on the return of Superman, you see Tableau, who and his group Epic High, who at the time was signed to YG Entertainment, perform at this YG Entertainment thing, and I'm like, oh, who are these guys? Because you see a huge crowd. Huge crowd at this place, and so you have to look them up quickly. Who are these people? And let's see actually what kind of music they make. And then you find, it's not too bad. it's okay. And the music, the videos are slick, because that's another huge thing that they pay attention to. I should actually probably just segue quickly before I get lost. I was in Thailand in 2011. 2011, mm-hmm. 2012. I was in Thailand with my friend. Don't ask. Like, we were on PP Island. It's like, there's nothing to do on PP Island but to eat and sleep and do the person you're with. But I was with a friend, so you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like literally in the room, either we're on the beach lying there, or we're in the restaurant eating, or we're in our room watching TV. And mm-hmm. what was on TV was all these Asian boy bands. And she and I were looking at each other like, are you kidding me? There's like Asian versions of the Backstreet Boys. What is this? So this is as early as 2011, like seeing this thing that like there's a whole other world out there that we didn't know it even existed. So actually, by the time I ran into them on YouTube, that wasn't the first time that I saw it. I'd seen it already while I was stuck in an island where there was nothing else to do but to watch these Asian boy bands on TV. Back to where I was. So that's basically how my stumble down the rabbit hole that is K-pop and the K-world, because really all of it is intermingled. And now comes the point that I was saying that I'd put down for the last point, was that did you know that all of this is actually a strategy? So the takeover of South Korean entertainment of the world is not accidental. It's actually a strategy by the Korean government.
Oh, how so? Please share. Please elaborate.
So they started what they called the Hallyu Wave, which was a very deliberate move to amount some kind of power for themselves. So South Korea sits in a peninsula where the politics are dominated by China, and the economies mm-hmm. basically in that region are dominated by China. The mm-hmm. other powerful voice in that region is Japan, and these people are not their friends. So they don't like
them. They're not.
You see what I'm saying? And so their government obviously then took a look and decided to take a position of soft power. So what they would do is they would become a cultural superpower, because they can't defeat China with like arms, or even with the size of the economy. And, you know, they can't do the same with Japan. So they went with a different approach to just say, okay, we'll just go with soft power. We will be the biggest influence across Asia. And they then deliberately went about putting the building blocks together to basically take over, not take over, but to plant the South Korean flag in the spaces of entertainment and media, which is actually where, you know, that's where power is. You know, when they talk about the fifth estate media, that's exactly what it is. And they termed it the Hallyu Wave. This is now, you're talking in the 80s or so. So this is a long-term thing. What we're seeing today, when you're seeing BTS dominating the Billboard chart, that is basically, you're seeing the tip of what is a very big ship that has been running for decades to build them to that state. And if you think about how South Korea is, they've got a history of doing this. The Samsungs of the world don't, and the LGs and the Kias and the Hyundais don't exist by accident. Those are government-backed projects that the government and private business, your public-private partnerships that are set up in that country to actually build those companies up and create space for South Korea on the international stage. Mm-hmm. So that's, so if you look that up, look up Hallyu Wave. And what I wanted to do actually before you maybe post this, I don't know if you want to get some links. I could send you some YouTube videos that you could actually just include there for your listeners if people want to actually go and take a look at this. But they did exactly that. They built this up, and they built it up starting with like three... so when K-pop started, I'm not going to go into it. There's like people on YouTube who've done comprehensive videos that are much more detailed and a lot better research and will be a lot more than the perfunctory explanation that I'll just give just now. And we'll, you know, you'll put them up at your discretion where your listeners can find them if they're interested in finding them. But K-pop really started, say, I think it's like late 70s into the early 80s. And you then eventually had three dominant companies, entertainment companies in that space. You had YG Entertainment, you had JYP, and you had SM Entertainment. And in much the same way that you saw the government get behind a Samsung and an LG, there were other runners, but these are the guys who actually, you know what I mean, ended up actually being the ones that they're able to push out onto the international stages. And so those guys came in, and then later on you see Big Hit. And when I say later on, I mean literally in the last 5 years. You see Big Hit, with the success of BTS, actually join that particular group of companies that are really working the international market, international entertainment spaces, and making a killing and extending the reach of the South Korean culture and South Korean entertainment, and raking in loads and loads of cash for, you know, for their people. Which,
I mean, like, to even like show how influential they are, I mean, like, this whole thing about like the military for Jin or the BTS members has been quite a controversy.
Ooh, goodness,
I'm saying controversy because
now I swear we should do like a whole episode that's like just about like the stands. You know what I mean? And the fandoms, because my goodness, there's lots to be said. There's a lot of good, and there's also just a lot that is shady and toxic AF.
Like Saesangs, first thing, the Saesangs are very toxic. I mean, I was a bit wary about joining, you know, like the K-pop fandoms, because I necessarily don't like, believe in certain mentality that the fandoms have. And somehow, even when you are part of a fandom, like, you become, you know, how can I say,
a little bit crazy. That's the word you're looking for.
I'm looking for what can I say, like, for us in South Africa, we really
we consume our entertainment very differently.
Yeah, we consume our entertainment very differently. Like, even when you like want to show your support as a fan, it's not like necessarily cheap. One, also, it's not like easily accessible for you to even like buy the album. Right now, the album is out. Like, I have to skip hoops and probably like pay close to like thousands for me to actually buy that album. You know?
Are you serious? Which album are you buying?
Like, if you have to buy the recent album, the approved.
Why aren't you streaming it?
Yeah, you can stream, but if you want to own like the physical, because
the physical
thing,
copy, okay.
Yeah, we literally consume content differently. I mean, you might like find streaming a bit easier, and whether it is easier, but owning like those physical, you know, most 90s people had like.
Oh, wow. CDs, here it comes. I thought we agreed to be respectful and nice to one another.
No, I was saying I'm a 90s. What do you mean? I'm also the end of a new generation.
Oh, okay. I thought, here comes the disrespect.
No, I'm also an Erica Badu generation. Like, when Erica Badu is the 90s, Erica is me. I'm always there. I was just saying the fact that like getting like all that merchandise and all that, like, it's not like as easy as it is. Like, I don't, sometimes I feel like I don't feel myself supporting.
And
even when we were streaming the live concert, the Permission to Dance concert, in cinemas and all that, like, there was situations where in Joburg there was no cinema that was capable of like streaming the PS.
Oh my goodness, you actually looked. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I did.
You are truly a stan. You are committed.
I am. Yeah, and I took quite some thought. I think people really join fandoms differently. I've been a K-pop stan for quite a few years, but I was not part of any fandom. Like, I wasn't listening to any Korean music. I was not into like K-pop, like any groups. Like, I had no clue about them. But I had so much clue about the dramas because from C dramas, I was watching or Japanese dramas as well. But I kind of like stuck to K dramas more because the language was like easier to pick up. Not in like I can speak it, but then like certain words became familiar. And, you know, even when I'm not actually like reading the subtitles, but I could actually get what exactly is about. So I kind of like stuck to it, and then that was it. So I became a K-drama fan for like years, and then later I was like, okay, BTS. Obviously, BTS was in our faces, guys. I think BTS was so in our faces. Like, we wouldn't.
I don't know if I should say it now, because if I say it now, I might actually alienate everybody else who comes on to, listen.
Then you get cancelled.
Yeah, I might just get cancelled before we even get anywhere. They're like, we're not listening to this. Like, how can you speak about K-pop and you are not a fan of BTS? I'm a fan of the hustle, because you know people are working hard and people are really, you know what I mean. It takes a lot to actually be in the entertainment world over there, in terms of like something as basic, but that's huge for them. Something as basic as like maintaining a good reputation. Do you know what I mean? It takes a lot to do that, and also just the hard work that goes into being an entertainer at all. So I respect the hustle, absolutely, would never knock them for that. But their music,
what do you mean? Just pick what works for you and go on about your life.
I know there's that. I'm gonna put it this way. Dave Chappelle shrug. You know when he goes like, you know what I mean? Totally. Here's my thoughts about how the differences between, say, how a South African consumes entertainment. Is number one, we've got differences in terms of just the ease of things that you can just stream from off of the internet. So immediately that makes a difference. If you're not able to like watch all the videos that you want, if you're not able to go on the kind of platforms that they have over there that allow the artists to stay in touch with their fans. So they've got Weverse now. Before then they had I like literally had that app. I did get that deep into VLive. So they had VLive, and now they have Weverse and things like that. They're kind of, and actually funny enough, the kind of technology that existed in Asia first before you saw a lot of like Western companies incorporating it into their stuff. So Instagram literally copy pasted what VLive was doing to create Instagram Live. So now some be online and you could be interacting with them as what you've had Korean and maybe Chinese and Japanese entertainers interact with their fans in that way for a really long time. And they have a kind of paternalistic relationship with their with the people that they're fans of. So the people from over there, the way that the entertainment companies build up these groups is there's an absolute deliberate plan to bring these kids in while they're absolute babies and feel out of, oh my goodness, they've suffered so much just to arrive here at this place and they're still growing. Mm-hmm. Please root for them. Please root for them. And so if somebody begins with you that way, you truly do become this, like, they become your babies that you're watching over, that you want to succeed, and that you'll do anything to support their journey and help them along. And so when they do things like their fans send them like coffee trucks to go and like bring them coffee if they're working, or they'll send them gifts for their birthdays, and they'll do all of these, they'll run events in their name in their wherever they're located, that's not entertainment world at all.
Yeah, totally. That, I
that
mean
is can not, have you like said, those are that's like day and night.
Have you sent Mafiki Zolo a coffee truck before?
and it must be said that actually one of the reasons that it's not one of the reasons I wanted to say, I think it's one of the weaknesses. Like if you look at what the South Koreans have managed to build, it has its downside as well. You know, the upside is you have all of the support, you have people sending you gifts on your birthday, da 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 da. But what it also does on the inverse side is that it encourages the sense of ownership. And so if you then, you know what I mean? And so if you don't do what they tell you to do, if you're not exactly like how they want you to be, then you get cancelled and all kinds of things. And
their cancel culture is real, hey?
It's brutal. It's the...
How many times have we cancelled McG in South Africa? Like, McG gets cancelled after every episode.
Please, South Africa is the anti of cancel culture. If there's ever a place in the world for the antithesis, we are literally the opposite. South Africa is like this.
We forget after 2 weeks. It's we deal with a lot of shit.
Listen, you are even talking about canceling for 2 weeks. South Africa is like, the culture in over there is like this. If you put one foot wrong, we'll cut you off, bro. Like, we don't want to see you. We don't want to see you with your imperfections.
Yeah.
You said you're going to be an idol, so you should be absolutely perfect and immaculate. And if you are imperfect, come down from that pedestal. We're not going to send you our money. We don't want to see you on our TV screen.
They literally do that, and it's so brutal. I mean, like, I've seen
it with so many,
even for things like being human, like when you impregnate someone, like for being human, you get cancelled for even getting married.
It's crazy. Versus the South African perspective is this: you put a foot wrong, people are like, guys, nizongtini ngowenu mos.
We're very compassionate. I think I love that about like
I love that about our culture.
We are very compassionate,
forgiving
as well. That a person, it's a human way. Like when you go astray, we pray for you.
We say that you cannot be throwing human beings away.
Yeah, we can have even a whole argument on Twitter, like, be toxic just because you want to protect a same, like, a person and say that, like, you know what, this person is a human. And I feel like they lack that, the K-pop industry lacks that they lack it so much. Hence, I said that it was I gave it a thought to join fandoms, because when I started, like, seeing what's happening around like fandoms and all that, and also because I like reading a lot, I think I bumped into BTS a lot because I was reading articles most of the time, and now my algorithm messed up, and now it was like flooded with like K-pop news updates and all that.
I love that. Now all these tech companies keep feeding you more and more of the same content. It's like the most awful thing
open your mouth. Let us feed you all this. So I started like reading more about like fandom, what they've done and all that. For me, it was a shocker, to be honest. For me, it was a shocker because I was like, we don't even care about our celebrities coming from airport. Like, you meet them at any airport. We don't care. Obviously, you go say hi if you want to.
I wanted to say to that, though, that... again, this comes back to the deliberate engineering of the entertainment companies.
Mm-hmm.
The target audience for these people are teenagers. So it's the crazy people. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm
sorry to all the teenagers for calling you that, but it's like really people.
They will come and come to you here.
I know. It's people who are not. You don't expect them to make very rational or responsible decisions when it comes to like how the use of their time and the use of their money, and really time being a big deal, because people who are working, even in the K-pop world, as soon as people are like at university or people are working, the number of those people who are actually fans who exist in the fandoms, they dwindle away. One of the jokes that you will know from Big Bang specifically, because they're one of the few bands from that generation. So they've been together, I think they're going on like 20 years now.
Yeah.
Their fans are like our age, like my age. I'm sorry, I don't want to lump you together with me. Like my age. And they will tell you about their fandom. They're like, listen, these people are not coming to see us at the airport. They don't care. They're not writing us letters. They're not sending us these things. They're like VIPs don't care, bro. They're not going to show up. They're just not going to do that. But they will like actually buy tickets because they happen to then fall into a certain income bracket. So they'll show up for the concerts, but they're not doing any of the others. They are not on the social media networks fighting other fandoms. They're not on there.
Creating unnecessary controversies.
They've got work.
Here's the thing, like all this, sometimes I read certain articles and I'm like, but is this a controversy? Like, let's break down the controversy, guys. Like, is this really something that qualifies as a controversy? Like, at times I'm just like, oh, okay, why would you say this is a controversy?
Yeah. Do you know, like, what, actually speaking of, I think things that like make you wonder, the other one that I wonder at, just as a cultural thing that they seem to, they are allowing it to continue to exist. And the only reason that I can think of when I'm watching it is it because it makes commercial sense for the entertainment companies, right? Any publicity is good publicity. So if people are talking about it, that's just hashtags and that's just traction on social media. So they're happy for that kind of thing to happen and continue going on, even if it is very toxic and it creates, like, it's a bad atmosphere. I can't imagine just any world that you would think it's good, except that it generates revenue for you. So things like people who call themselves fans off. So I don't know if the same exists in BTS world, but I know that it exists in like YG fandoms. There's a certain segment of the fandom that just loves to sit there and criticize everything going on around the artist. So the management gets it, the entertainment company gets criticized all the time, and it's just literally people being cursed out all the time. The CEO of the company, the whatever, whatever, and there's just this constant negativity around these artists. And I'm like, I don't understand why you would do that. That would be like, if I'm a Kanye fan, right? I'm a Kanye stan.
Yeah! Our Yeezy! Yes! I have to listen to Yeah every morning.
Really? Which song?
I listen to Stretch Your Hands from The Life of Pablo. That's my favorite. And also I like the Sunday Savers version of it.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that's some really good stuff, right? So what I'm saying is, what they're doing is the equivalent of somebody who's a Kanye stan sitting on the internet trashing Def Jam. Like, what are you doing? What is the point? Are you a fan of this man, or are you just happy to sit here and talk trash about Def Jam? Like, what are you doing? And how is that helping Kanye, if you think about it? So that's what they do. And I'm like, people who are like fans of Blackpink and they sit there trashing YG, and I'm like, I don't understand what this is supposed to accomplish. I really don't understand, except
And then this is like, we are concerned about the artist.
Yes, that's the crazy part. And I'm that's like what? No. What are we even saying? Like,
you were saying?
I was going to say, for me, it just creates so much negativity around the artist. You know what I mean? Like, why would you do that? It's just, in a world where you could say positive things, you could choose to sit there and like praise all the great things that your artist is doing, support every single thing that they're doing, and they tend to be doing a lot. If they're not on TV, they, you know, they're always doing something. If they're K-pop stars, well, it depends on which agency they're with, but generally the ones who are super visible internationally, they tend to be busy all the time, so there's always something to support and something to publicize and something to promote if you're a fan like that. But for you to then sit and like sit on this negative messaging and this negative tangent, I feel like that's so self-defeating. And I feel like, I wonder if you can say that you actually love those people
most of the time I question the genuine and the sincerity of like fandoms, because this time I think it was after Grammys, and like I did record an episode after Grammys, and I was like, you know, I'm not really sure if I want to still be part of like the ARMY fandom because of like, you know, I wanted to choose a fandom that is very positive, just genuinely has love and support for these seven boys as artists. And I always like overemphasize the fact that like, I don't know them personally, so I cannot say I love them and I want to marry them or something, or they are my husband.
Oh, please no.
Like, for me, I know that, you know, it might happen, it might not, but there's no way I'd end up with Jungkook. There's no way I'll end up with RM. There's no way I'll end up with J-Hope.
Why is that even a thought? That's like so random.
Yeah, I mean, like, I support them the way I support Ye, as in, like, I love his music. I love him as an artist.
Yeah,
I don't know him personally. I don't know who he is, what he's about, and all that. The only way I connect with him and resonate with him is through his music, through the message he sends to the world.
Sorry, when you finish that, yes, you relate to him through his music and
the message that he's trying to send to the world. Like, I totally resonate with that. Hence, I am a fan of Kanye. That's the same way I am an ARMY fan. Like, I mean, for me, being an ARMY is not even like a factor. It's not something like I'm saying, I'm proud of. But me being a fan,
there's a rational distance there.
Yeah, I'm a fan of BTS as artists. I'm a fan of them, and even if I can have a bias, because you know.
The biases. Who is your bias, by the way? Who is your bias in BTS?
My bias is Jimin, and I want to qualify why Jimin is my bias. So
you want to qualify? I love it. Yes, please qualify it.
Jimin is my bias because of his story. Like, I mean, the whole entire plan of Jimin, like, being part of, like, a big hit house, or, like, coming into this space who were going to debut, it wasn't part of the plan. You know, when like things happen.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't part of the plan. He came to Seoul and he needed shelter, type of thing. Like, you know, so he came to this dorm where there was like a lot of boys sharing just a very tiny space. And then somehow he would join them for practices, watch them practice. And then he started joining in to them practicing and all that. And somehow he worked like very hard to even be recognized by Big Hit, that, you know what, this person has a great potential, is a great dancer. He has a background of like ballet. So Kim, you know, transcending into the K-pop dances and all that, it was like, you know, easy, but he worked a lot to actually be part of that group. And
you see what I'm saying about how they very carefully engineer your love for them. Like,
feel
absolutely maternal protectiveness and attention.
I am captured. Pagama.
You captured, my friend. The state captured this thing. It needs to be investigated.
So after that, like, and also how, you know, he was reminded. He kept being reminded how he could go anytime. So, because
my goodness, so he was one of those, like, you don't belong.
Like, you know, you almost left this week. Yeah, you almost got disqualified this week. And like, because I have anxiety, like I know how much like I'm very passionate about certain things, and like somehow my anxiety takes over the passion at times that I would want to be a perfectionist to make sure that whatever that I'm working on turns out right and all that. So I imagine that every time I'm in a space and I'm trying to own the space, trying to, you know, get a piece of the pie, and someone is constantly reminding me that
he had a rough time, basically.
You could have left any time and all that. But as much as like Jimin is my bias, I don't know what Jimin has to say. Like, he's kind of like holding to himself. He's one of like the members that don't have much to say. And I'm not saying this because he doesn't speak English properly or anything. So that's why I'm saying this, because even like in variety shows that are in Korean and you can, you know, they translate them. He's not really a talkative person. He keeps to himself and all that. So at times I wonder if is this where he wants to be, type of thing, like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, is this the life that he envisioned for
himself? I swear, like, I'm listening to you, and I understand the very personal investment in this to a point where you're like, you know what, like, I don't know if he actually wants to be there. Like, you know what I mean? That's deeply personal concern.
Yeah, it's you know, wonder when he's sitting there and doesn't have so much bad. To say. Doesn't have much to say, and you're like, yeah, it could be his personality.
Why? You're like, are you okay? Like, are you okay? Are you fine? You? Is this why you're not saying anything?
During the before the release of this recent album, like, there was, you know, fans that were demanding that Hype should treat Jimin better, type of thing. So they listed.
Do have that kind of toxicity as well.
Yeah, they do
negative stuff that you're like, oh my god, shut up.
Yes. Trust me. After that whole controversy and all that, that's when I was like questioning my stand.
Yeah,
I'm offended because I was like, I'm not here to do this.
I think just because of the cultural differences, we can't ever like be. We're fans, but we're not the same. You know, with people from that culture. So I'm in the same boat as you are in terms of, like, I'm captured also by a group called Icon. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah. What happened to your member? There's this member of your...
Hey, I don't please know don't. You'll get me... I will get really emotional and I might just, like, literally start crying just now. Let's not go into that.
What happened to your member? No, like...
Please don't say that. Hang on. I'm gonna tell you everything. So here's what happened, right? I get stuck sucked in, basically, same way that you do. And again, captured, sucked in. Here's what happened. Same thing that happened with my, like I said, my path down the rabbit hole. On YouTube, there's a show called Win, W-I-N. And it's by YG, obviously. What they do, like I said, is whenever they're launching a new pop group, they'll run these shows to get you invested in them. So you watch these boys audition and like battle it out for the right to debut. Do you know what I mean? To be part of the group. So
is it the same concept as Kingdom? Because there's another one that's like
No, Kingdom, I believe, is already groups that have debuted. So I'll send you that link to like the first episode, and then you can watch it. But the groups that they created, so on that particular show, they had what was called Team A and Team B. Team A would go on to become the group from YG called Winner, and Team B would then.
I have Winner.
See what I'm saying? Oh, you and I and the same are literally then the same, because you like the YG people. That's like literally for me, the only.
I love YG people a lot.
If I was going to say I'm a fan, really, I'd say a lot of the guys from YG, and just the ethos of YG. I'm a fan of the ethos and the thinking. They are K-pop, but they have a little bit of that international mentality with their stars, like, to an extent where they're like, for example, like, guys, we're not going to talk about these people's private lives. We are not going to discuss who they're dating, whether they're dating or not. Like, it's their personal business. That's not our business. And they always speak about their guys as artists, not as this is an idol and this is a machine and this is a marketing board. You know, anyway, so back to Icon. So Icon loses, winner wins that particular one, and they go on to debut. But then they do another reality show, which is again centered around the debut of Icon, and they add in like a seventh member. So basically, there's two whole shows that you're watching these guys going through the ringer emotionally and psychologically to try to earn their place in the international, in the entertainment world, and they eventually get there. And by now, you can say all of their names. You know what their names are. You know what I mean? And it's like Korean names.
You know their personalities even memorize now.
Like, you know their personalities. You know their family background. You know the time that they cried. The time that they had to walk home in the dark by themselves. The time that they, you know, got hurt in the studio while they were dancing. All of that stuff. You are so emotionally invested. And then they debut and you are on YouTube again catching the live debut, and then when the albums come out, you making sure to catch the videos as soon as they come out, etc. And then so I forget now how we got on this tangent where I was speaking about Icon, because you were speaking about Jimin and how he suffered, right? And I think biases and things like that. And I think with just exactly what we're talking about, that kind of exposure into the mentality and the mindset and putting these people in these stressful situations, you begin to attach to one of them, especially if you're a woman, because I think guys will watch this thing and they don't give a damn. But for women, this is
our driver yesterday was like, who are these people? Like, what are you talking about?
Totally. And you start to get attached to them, and then so Icon eventually had like I was going into the controversy. Yes, that's what we were speaking about. So
yes, I want to know what happened. So, I know he impregnated.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So there were two things that happened with them. There were a group of seven, and the guy who was the leader, a guy called B.I., Kim Hanbin.
Oh, when now?
Yes, Kim Hanbin.
Make me go picture. You bring the devil out of me.
Okay. I was going to go with Ila. Anyway, so
Ila
is a good song, but you know what I'm saying? It's a good song. Anyway, he has to leave the group because there's some allegation about him having tried to buy drugs. He didn't buy them. He tried to buy drugs and get this 2 years ago. Do you see what
like
I'm saying?
Like, tried to buy marijuana.
So the allegation comes out. The allegation comes out in 2019, right? The accusation and the whole scandal breaks out in 2019. And they're saying in 2016, this guy tried to buy drugs. Do you see what I'm saying? Like to a South African, like I no disrespect to the South Koreans, you know what I mean? Like, drugs are absolutely outlawed over there. So yes, he broke
the law. Is it marijuana or is it nicotine? Like,
any drugs at all. Like, you've got cigarettes and you've got alcohol. That's it. And anything else? Yeah, anything else?
Drugs.
You are in trouble. It's drugs. Yeah. So he basically is being pulled for this one thing. Not that, he took the drugs. No, it's he tried to buy drugs 2 years ago. And now he has to be crucified. And because of the way that world functions, like any whiff of scandal at all, of course he has to be cut out, right? Because
without even any verification. Yes, yeah, so this is what I hate.
This is what I just find like so... interesting.
That's what I hate
so interesting, just as a cultural difference, because we wouldn't, like, that would never happen in a South African context.
Yeah, we want proof here. They want proof of everything. That's what I'm
saying. We want to hear. He must explain. And then once he's explained, guys, but what are we going
to do?
Even
the person that saw him, we want witnesses.
So anyway,
we want a space.
He gets kicked. Yeah, he gets he doesn't get kicked out, but he resigns from the group because he's literally the leader. He writes and produces all their music, and if he's stuck with this thing, like literally the future of the whole group is at stake. So he recuses himself. He's like, okay, I'm leaving the group. I don't want to negatively affect the other guys' careers. We all worked so hard to get here. And so he leaves the group, right? Which devastating to me, like, because like I said, I'm already married to these kids emotionally. Like, I love them. They're my babies. Like, when I tell you my niece who lives in South Africa and is 9 years old, my niece knows icon music and knows that I love these. They're like my babies. So I mean, you can imagine the whole group is going through some turmoil and whatnot. And then comes out what other people are now calling a scandal. Bobby makes an announcement where he's like, listen, I promised I'm gonna marry somebody and we're gonna have a baby. My
handwritten letter.
When I say this, the people were going crazy on the internet. I was playing Twitter fingers myself. I was on Twitter, I got into it with like somebody who was on there herself trying to correct somebody else saying, we the icon fandom are with Bob and we don't care, blah 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 blah. And I think the point that I was making was this, that we can never, I think, as South Africans and our particular attitude with or towards celebrities, we can't ever identify with that kind of thinking at all, because this person, like, it's not that we were not saying the same thing, but it came down to me having to like say to her, listen, you don't own them and you're not the only person invested in them. And what you are saying is, oh, we are so forgiving as an icon fandom. We just are fans of them. And I'm sitting here telling you he didn't do anything wrong and he's entitled to his life.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, it's a very fine line where you have to say that. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm. Like, she's like, oh, I'm being so righteous. We support the boys regardless. And I'm like, there's no regardless about it. Because they are people, they're entitled to have a life.
Exactly. I mean, also things like, we actually in South Africa, we see a child as a blessing. We will never, even despite of whatever circumstances or whatever, a child is a blessing. Even if you can be in the shittiest situation, you will bump upon or stumble across a person that will tell you that, I know what you're going through. I know that you're suffering. I know that you don't know what you're doing right now. I know the fact that also, like, you feel lost and it's still dark right now. But here's the thing, a child is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so human. Things like marriage, children, and all that.
Bro,
we consider like, them as blessings.
It's wild. And when I tell you, like, there's still, I saw like somebody on Twitter also saying this to another stan, saying to them, like, guys, you need to stop harping on the fact that Bobby's a married man, because apparently this is a thing. And it comes back again to that sense of ownership, that the way that they build up these people and the way that they're so invested in them and they're spending money off them on them and things like that, it creates this sense of entitlement to them, to a point where, okay, Bob is now married and that's apparently something we need to make a big deal out of because he's no longer available. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else came into the conversation to say, yes, so what? Like, that would be like saying, again, Kanye is married. What, I can't stand him now? Like, every time I am a fan of anything he puts out, I need to qualify that as if that's somehow an infringement on Kim's place. I know what I am. I'm a South African girl who's likely never going to meet this guy. And I'm a fan of the art. You know what I'm saying? Just like things like that. And then some of the attitude with the, like, oh no, I'm Asian or I'm South Korean and therefore I know more than you. And I'm like, yo, you are aware that I've been a fan since way before they even debuted, since the WIN program. So you don't know more than I do. You can't, like, they try to pull that as well. If you're having discourse with them, there's this, oh, you are not as invested as I am. I've been a fan since forever. And I'm like, well, yeah, join
same
the queue. Join the queue, bro. Like, what? You're not special. You know, you're not special. Your opinion is not more important than mine. So when I tell you that you need to get up off of Bobby's back, you know what I mean? I have exactly the same amount of rights and entitlement to say that about the subject, to say that he's entitled to his life and has done nothing wrong for you to be saying, you know, regardless or whatever. So I feel like in some ways, two things. I feel like we could learn from each other in a sense.
Yes.
In the sense of, like, from the commercial side, there's nothing stopping somebody like Mafikizolo really building that kind of relationship. Like, I'm bringing them up because you just brought them up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Never sent them a coffee drag.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with them building that kind of friendship and loyalty with their fans, because you know what? Actually, if you think about it in the South African sense, it would be even stronger, because we already have, like, such a community sense of spirit. So the moment somebody then really does become like your friend, then they can figure out. Mm-hmm. I'm saying they can, and it's probably, I'm speaking this about this from a strictly commercial perspective, and I know it's probably hideous to say trade on people's emotions so you can make more money off of them. But mm-hmm. I mean, you are in the entertainment business to try to do good business. You know what I mean? So there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And you can literally copy paste so many lessons from those guys for the South African entertainment business. And at the same time, I feel like our attitude of, like, bro, like, people are people, and if you love, then you love.
Yeah, you love,
you know, them. They could learn. What, yeah, they could learn. They could learn that from us. Like, just let the poor people have a life. Because there's so many people whose lives get shipwrecked from just that kind of business model. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, and it really is. Like, people's lives get shipwrecked. People's careers get taken away. People, you know, people's family, their livelihood gets taken away, and it's a shame.
So I wanted to ask you, like, how well aware of this K-pop group SHINee?
SHINee, a little bit. So I know they started out with, like, 5 members, and then one of them passed away. One of them passed away. So they came up right after Big Bang came out. And the two guys on the band, like the songwriters, and one of the songwriters, incidentally, is the guy who passed away. Yeah, so I know
Here's the thing. When this is the first time I got exposed to the dark side of fandom, it was, I don't know, you know, algorithm was, oh, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, Mark Zuckerberg.
He just wants your attention at all times. You mustn't ever leave. You mustn't log off.
At any cost. Mark Zuckerberg gives me an algorithm. But I mean, like I said, the fact that, yes, I was a K-drama stan, and I wasn't, like, much more vested in, you know, K-pop music or whatever, the industry as a whole. I didn't care about it. But then once I started becoming an ARMY, I started, like, discovering more groups and all that. So you can say that I belong to, like, different fan groups, but I'm not as invested as I am.
You're probably like me in the sense of you're a fan of what they're doing over there, just as in the world of entertainment and what they're building, which is very impressive. Like, it's hella impressive. And you're not like one of the
I try to I mean, from a distance, like, South Africa is far from South Korea, guys, okay? So it's always fun.
I love that you're like, bro, like, we are far from that place, okay? Very far. Like, please maintain perspective.
So I've got exposed to, like, the dark side of the fandom through SHINee. Like, they are the people that here's the thing, K-dramas can make me cry, but I mean, K-pop idols didn't necessarily bring out that emotion to me. But the first concert that they held after one of the members committed suicide, I cried. Yeah. I cried, and I was like, I'm trying to understand why they're crying. And I went to, like, read up, like, articles what happened. And it was genuinely because of fandom. It was genuinely because of fandom and imposter syndrome and mental health and
homophobia in that society. Like, allegedly, I mean, I don't know if we should say allegedly or whatever, but, like, you could see there's a lot of, they do, like, it's part of, like, K-pop culture, the gay baiting. You know what I mean? The gay baiting. So even if they profess to not be homosexual, oh no homo for anything that they do, and yet all of their behavior, and you see this in a lot of these groups, all of their behavior, some of their behavior, like you will see one or two of the members will be really behaving in a way that if you're watching it, you're like, bro, like you gotta be
gay. A little bit.
You gotta be. You know what I'm saying? But the
denial, and women have a gay rider.
Yeah, the denial in that society of like homosexuality at all, and the kind of shame that they cast on people who are like that, combined with just the kind of shame that gets piled on you if you are different at all. So forget even you're gay, which they consider like an abomination, pretty much you're unnatural, it's disgusting. But to be different at all, and it could be different in the most minor of ways, you dress differently, you like your hairstyle a little different, the kind of pressure that society places on you. So for somebody like that, like when you talk about like mental, you know, just mental pressure, if he's like one of those people that we're talking about, that if you're looking at him, you're like,
Yeah, Shiny, you know, women have gay rider, right? Here's the thing, we do understand that men have a feminine side. As much as us women, we have a masculine.
Totally.
Yeah, and you know that there are certain like heterosexual men who are like straight niggas, but at the same time, they're just feminine. It's just that like they're just feminine.
Well, they're effeminate, they are feminine guys. Yeah.
Yeah, but they love women, and you know they are attracted to women and all that.
For example, like you have a prime, big, visible example of somebody like that.
Prince was it, and Prince was definitely into women.
Well, lady killer, but like effeminate and soft, and you know what I'm saying, makeup and heels and everything. But you could still sense that male energy in him.
Yes.
So you're right.
Yes,
you're right. Also, we know Shiny, what we're sensing, and the Shiny, tell me, yes.
Shiny has a member that is too feminine. And bro, sometimes
is that I think his name is Taman.
No, Taman. Oh my god, fuck, I love Taman. Taman must come back from military now. So that Taman. You can say that Taman is feminine because he has like soft features and a soft personality. What about Key?
Bro, like
this is the kind of thing.
I just want us to be careful because we're gonna put this out in like the public space, right? And it's like a horrible thing to speak and speculate about somebody's sexuality, especially if it's not something that they've happily revealed themselves. Do you know what I'm saying? So be respectful. I think maybe edit that bit out. But you just say that I think we can agree and say this. There's a lot of gay baiting to a point where even if it's not baiting, maybe some of their behaviors definitely give you the sense that some of them are less than heterosexual, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with an entertainment world and the societal culture that criminalizes that and makes that like this thing that must be hidden and this thing that's shameful to a point where people are denying themselves.
Okay, sorry, I had to look for my laptop. It's dying, and I'm seeking refuge because I live in a country that needs Elon Musk to come save them from the crisis.
Okay, yes.
So all I'm saying is the fact that for me and for most of us in our countries, we are literally all for like the queer community.
We don't care.
Nothing different about them. They're just human like any of us. And you know what? They didn't choose this life. Here's the thing. They don't choose. People really think that
it's men.
Especially we didn't choose to be women or to be men or to have vagina or
what you're saying is actually just so important because I obviously coming from a charismatic Christian, fundamentalist Christian background, have always do you know what I mean? There's messaging, obviously, that is in that world around the subject of homosexuality. And it certainly, even if it says it's forgiving and there's grace and whatnot, but it certainly is labeled as this is not the right thing. This is not acceptable, etc.
That's how I
Yeah. And then I saw something. I don't know if it's a show or if it was like an interview with an actual gay person, but whatever it was, this person was saying... homosexual, and they were saying, do you think if I had a choice I wouldn't choose to be right? Like, do you think I would choose to be like this if I could? Because who wants to be wrong? Who wants to be considered an abomination? Who wants to sit in this like literal hot seat of you are eternally wrong, you are like you are just wrong? He says, do you think I if I could choose, I wouldn't choose to be right? And that immediately, like that is one of the moments that changed my life and my thinking completely around the subject, because I was like truly, do you think like people wouldn't choose to be right? As much as humans love to be right and humans love to be approved of and love to be in, you know, on the right team, who wouldn't choose to be that way if they could?
Yeah. I mean, like, people think that it's like a decision someone just woke up and decided to be trans. People decided to just wake up and be gay or to be bisexual or sexual. There's like a lot of terms in the queer community and all that, but the more you dive into it, like, even parents see it from a very early childhood development stage that this person is actually feminine, this person is actually interested in the things that the other gender or opposite gender is interested in. It's all about ignorance at the end of the day, where people turn a blind eye and then it like, you know, and then come back to ex-shoot when you have to like now officially reveal who you are and what you all are.
Which I find is such a problematic thing in a sense. I find it horrible that like, why must people be making announcements about anything?
You know, a lot of them we can see, we have eyes, especially for you. I'm a very big fan of allowing people to be who they are, and not being in
like leaving people alone. I call that leaving people alone. Yeah. Like, just leave people alone, bro. Like, leave people alone, man.
People don't owe you anything. Yes, I live my life knowing the fact that people don't owe me anything. You can be my friend and all that. If you are not comfortable to share whatever that you want to share, I will wait for you to be able to share it. And if you decide not to, it's still fine. It meant that the important people in your life had to know. And if that's the case, I'm very, very happy that, you know, you got to share with whoever and all that. I won't ask you. I can see something happening and not ask questions. Because I feel like I need to give you a room to process whatever that you are going through. And then like find ways to articulate yourself and express yourself very efficiently and all that, and be comfortable. So if my energy is not actually like making you comfortable enough to open yourself up to me, I'm not gonna hold that against you and say that, oh no, you're not a true friend and you're not telling me this, you know, I have to whomever and all that. Like, I will constantly like embrace you and love you, because here's the thing, everything that is happening here on earth, it's a human way, and it's not going to actually stick to whatever societal norms or societal standards. So it's kind of like a very toxic space to be at in the entertainment industry, of like Korean entertainment industry, and also be seen as this different, or like have a whole, what can I say? I can only imagine what the queer community in the K-pop industry is going through.
They must be going through it, right?
Yeah,
they must. Like, and I think it's not even just in the K-pop, so in the entertainment business, it's like, just in society. It's just in society.
Also,
it's
realized about like the Korean community. I mean, obviously, I haven't been to Korea, and I don't know much. I know you've been, girl. Like, we need a whole podcast episode to know, like, your experience and everything.
So I've traveled quite a bit, right? And so the countries that I've spent the most time in in my life is obviously South Africa. I'm from there, lived there for like a few decades, without giving anything away, a few decades. And I've lived out here for almost a decade. And then the third country that I've spent the most time in is actually South Korea. I've done like, with just various trips, I've done close to 2 months in that space, like going in and out on holiday. So that does not make me an expert. It just means I've been there and I've seen some of these things firsthand. Some of them, yeah. I'm not an expert by any means. Like a month and a half to 2 months does not an expert make.
It's just like your 2 cents.
Like, yeah, it's my juice. It's to just say that I'll put it this way. I had a certain perspective about Bollywood from, obviously, again, the same thing. I watched a lot of Bollywood movies and I was like, I have to see India. It's so bright and cheerful and everybody's just singing and like, that's, it's just so happy. and all my Indian friends said, Pagama, please stop. It's not like the movies. And I was like, no, but it's so happy and cheerful and colorful and it's beautifully choreographed dancing everywhere. And I went and came back shell shocked. And they were like, well, we told you, you know, we tried to tell you. And so it's the same thing. I think you watch a K-drama, you watch the music videos, and you know, you watch some of the interviews and the shows and whatnot. But once you're on the ground and actually, you know, see how people live, it's not quite the same shell shock as maybe what I had with India, but certainly it puts things in perspective, especially when you see the world outside of entertainment. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you just see normal life. Mm. Yeah. I wanted to say this as a last thing, and maybe that's like our last point for this conversation, yeah, if that's okay, because to just wrap it up.
We got to compete now.
Yeah, the guy who I was trying to find his name because I want to be respectful and really I think his name was Jean-Luc. Let me double check to make sure I am correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I pronounce it correctly. Shiny members. Jonghyun.
Oh yeah, that's the member that passed on. Right?
Who passed away? Yeah. I haven't really like listened to a lot of Shiny music, but I was obviously aware of them because of just, well, awareness about.
Sorry. That's the song.
yeah, I know some of the songs, but I didn't really.
Me.
Oh gosh! Oh Lord! But how my world collided or touched that world through a song that he wrote, that was sung by a girl called Lehi, or Yehi as they would say.
Ooh, I love Lehi, guys.
Ooh. Yeah. Yes. So obviously this is a song that is an unlikely song to exist, because in the first place these two artists belong to two different entertainment companies, but they managed to pull it off so that she would actually have the song. And when Yehi was speaking about the song, I was saying that she'd asked him to write her a song about breathing, and she...
Wait, that song is written by what?
By Jonghyun, yeah. Jonghyun. Breathe is written by... Yeah, it's written by Jonghyun. And he wrote it. She asked him to write that song specifically for her, and she what she said about this in an interview, she said just before she debuted and going through the rigmarole of that anxiety, mm-hmm, and like working so hard to try to earn your place in the entertainment business and not knowing if you're going to make it or not, like are you going to crack it so that the entertainment company feels like they can invest in you, to a point where she started to have what may be an anxiety disorder. She was like, she couldn't breathe, and so panic attacks basically. And he wrote the song for her, and the song is about like working so hard, like working yourself to a point of exhaustion, and it might not be, oh, I've worked so hard, but it can be just that life is so heavy that it does feel that it does feel like you're literally dragging yourself through the process and you can't catch your breath. And that song to me, like, it's a beautiful song, and obviously her vocals are just amazing. She's amazing as a vocalist. But the subject matter of the song, and I actually had like one of those experiences myself. I was at a place where I was at the end of my rope and I couldn't catch my breath either. So to listen to that song, like, you know when you have like one of those episodes where you put on a song and you play it over and over again and you just weep until you have no more tears. So
I am tearing as we speak. I am so tearing.
Yeah.
It's weird how you had to mention a song. I didn't know that who wrote it. I also didn't know the background story. There's words or lyrics that I know Kinchana say, what does it mean and all that. But because of that, and it comforted me. Oh my God, I can't, I'm just gonna cry. And to hear you sharing that, how that song is one of those songs that you were at that particular point and you know you wanted to breathe and it comforted you, and wow,
we're talking about, right? We're talking about, oh, it's not about the fact that it's a Korean music form or it's whatever, it's the fact that it's human expression and you can touch it and you can feel it. Whether you understand the language or not, whether it's the subtitles or whether it's just the feeling that the person is conveying,
you can feel her soul. You can feel her soul in that song. You can literally feel her.
And it's I think just while we're speaking about this, to bring us back to, yes, we've got all these differences, but really at the end of the day, the human experience is the human experience, and we are all going through the same things, and art cuts across all of that and can translate these things and can heal and can bring these moments. And you know, so what is K-pop, and so what in a lot of places people will name it, will make it synonymous to BTS and this bubblegum type of thing, when actually it's art. And there's high levels of it if you go in enough to actually find it. So anyway, thank you to Jonghyun for like his writing, and bless him. And I'm always grateful to Yihai and to the guys at, I think the, what was that? It was called High Something, but Tablo owned that label within YG. That kind of just attention to detail and really producing the kind of art that cuts across cultures and can heal somebody and do that. So yeah, moments with K-pop.
Yeah, I'm definitely titling this episode as Moments in K-pop, because
moments
we just
with K-pop. With K-pop.
Yeah, Moments with K-pop, definitely, because I think the highlight for me of in this episode is, you know, I've quite learned a lot from you, to be quite honest. Like, it's very enlightening in a way. But you know, this song by Lihye is, I've tried listening to her
Lihye,
other music.
Yeah,
Lihye. There's no other song like me.
Bro, listen.
There's no other song.
I have a playlist that I call Meditate. And it's like literally songs that I like if I'm meditating and whatnot. And you've seen the video?
I haven't. Like, it has. I'm
you
saying
have
the
to go find it. You have to go find it, and you have to hear to like read through the lyrics, because when I tell you, she's like breathe, and she says something that translates so well in African languages as well. She says, you know, when they say how do they say it? But they say you've worked hard. It's how do they say it? Charaso. I think it's charaso. Like you've worked hard. And it's such an interesting phrase, because in Xhosa there's also a saying that literally says the same thing, and it means exactly the same thing. When people say usebenzi, they say it means you've done well. It means you've worked hard. You know what I mean? So that kind of translation where she sings that, and you can really feel that. It's like a pat on the head when you're having a really, really bad day and you can barely lift your own head up, and somebody sings that to you, that, you know what, usebenzi.
Okay, we really do need to wrap this up. Remember that I told you that I'm at my friend's house, and yeah,
we need to like. I have another thing in 10 minutes. I think we're done, because we've closed it with like moments in K-pop, and we're just explaining what that song is. Go find the video, I swear. You will literally understand it deeper, and especially the one with the subtitles. In fact, I'll just loop it to you and send it to you also for like references, your reference list for this episode. So I'll send you a link to like explanations about Hallyu, the Hallyu Wave, and I'll send you a link also to like really good videos on YouTube that explain pop, and then I'll send you the link to Yeehi's
music video.
The Breathe music video with English subtitles. This is amazing. Okay. Great chat, my friend.
Now I have to recognize or acknowledge the guests or the viewers or the listeners. I'm sorry guys that we are acknowledging you at the end, but thank you for joining us to another episode. It was very enlightening, very different. I know that from the beginning I've been saying that this whole podcast doesn't have a vision whatsoever, and I really don't know what I'm trying to achieve from actually having a whole podcast about K-pop, but right now I feel like it's starting to take form and take shape. I hope you enjoyed the podcast as much as I have, and thank you to Anchor for being so smart and making life so easier. I'm having a whole
thank God for Anchor,
I'm having an entire conversation with someone who's in Dubai and I'm in South Africa right now. You know, the power of technology, guys. Yes, you can call us Women in Tech.
That's Women a stretch, but okay.
So it's a wrap from me, your girl, Mamelo Matake, aka Nabi Dawn, in Instagram. What is your Instagram?
You can find me on Mobu Books, MOBU Books, Mobu Books. That's probably the best place to find me. I'm not gonna like that's the one for where you can connect with me as on an author level. So the book that I've written out and other inspirational content that I put out. And this is Pakama, and that was me sharing my moments with K-pop.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy your rest of your week. I need to go. I'm in a rush right now. So please like, follow, @sowudu_o'clock. On Instagram, and we're also on TikTok, but there's nothing much on TikTok. Also, follow, hit that notification button so that you can always be updated with our episodes. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.